Chapter 7 is entitled Further Inquiries by Vidura. In the beginning of the third canto, going back a few chapters, Vidura has met Maitreya. Maitreya has just heard Krishna speaking to Uddhava, the whole of the Uddhava Gita. And then Krishna left. And then Vidura met Uddhava, several chapters of dialogue between Uddhava and Vidura. And then Uddhava left. He had been given some service. His service was to give Krishna's association to the devotees of Naranarayan Rishi. Because Krishna wanted to do that himself, but which he had done with many others, he had personally come to give his association. Pritranaya Sadhuna. But he said that I have yet to spend time with the Naranarayan Rishis, so you do. Take this message that you just heard from me and give the message to them. Then Krishna left, and then Uddhava left after very nice Krishna Katha with Uddhava. Then Vidura went looking for Maitreya. He found Maitreya. Krishna had also said to Maitreya, very soon Uddhava is going to come, and I'd like you to give this message to him also. So, Maitreya Muni is fulfilling Krishna's instruction. Vidura inquired about Krishna. Specifically, he inquired about the process of creation. If we go back to the first canto, Chapter 1. There are 6 questions by the sages, and one of those 6 questions is, please describe the activities of the Lord as he enters within this created realm. It's one of the 6 questions. Jiva Goswami takes a particular slant or presentation, and that is, he's specifically asking about the Lord in his Vishnu forms for the process of creation. And that's addressed in the end of chapter 2 and the beginning of chapter 3, the Purusha avatars. Chapter 2, verses 30 through 33. Specific to creation. So, that's chapter 2 of the first canto. Here's chapter 6 of the third canto, expanding that. The activities of the Lord in relation to his creation. After Maitreya presents everything, then Vidura starts asking some more questions. So further inquiries by Vidura. I'm going to read the translation of text 2 because it connects with what we're going to discuss this morning. Sri Vidura said, O great Brahmana, since the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the complete spiritual whole and is unchangeable, how is he connected with the material modes of nature and their activities? How is the unchangeable connected with the changeable? How is he who is completely spiritual connected to that which is material? And how are his activities, which are fully spiritual, to be understood? And what is his connection with the activities that are material? It's a classic question that theologies of the world address in different ways, and so you have different theologies. Then he says, if the answer is, this is his pastime, it means the material creation, how do the activities of the unchangeable take place and exhibit qualities without the modes of nature? Meaning, we only know of activities that are within time, like past, present, and future. Though we were doing something before, we're doing something now, and we're going to do something after. That's activity, with past, present, future. What's activity that doesn't have time? What's activity where there's no change? Now we're here, and later we're going to be somewhere else, etc. So what's unchanging? What is the unchangeable activity and the unchangeable place and the unchangeable qualities where there's no influence of the modes of nature? Hey, that's a nice question. This is the graduate study of Bhagavad Gita. So, text number three. So, in the verse, the word is there, chinmatra. Chin can mean different things. Chit, in this case it means spiritual. Chit can mean conscious, like said, chit ananda. But chit can also mean spiritual, like the chit, the Lord's chit potency, referring in a broader way to his spiritual potency. So the Lord, who is chit or chinmaya, or has complete spiritual potency, what's the relation? Like, or is there a connection? What is it? I'm not sure which is which. I can't remember which is which. There's a deistic and there's a theistic conception. And if I'm... Anyway, one of them is God creates, he lets it go, and has nothing to do with it. That's deistic, I believe. And the comparison is to a watchmaker. The watchmaker makes the watch, puts it in the marketplace, someone buys the watch. That's it. He has no longer any connection with the watch. And there are deists who have that idea, who it takes away, why is there bad in the world? Because, well, people just messed up the watch. The watch was fine. We just used it the wrong way. And then there's a theistic conception, or whichever of the two, where God creates and he's continuing to be involved. And if he's continuing to be involved, which makes sense, because otherwise you have something going on that has nothing, no connection with God. Wait a minute. What's that which has no connection with God? So if there's connection with God, then he's like accountable, responsible for bad things that happen to good people. Or bad things happening at all. My God can't create a place that there's no suffering. He has. We rejected it. Anyway, so what's the relationship? Sambandha. Text number three. Boys are enthusiastic to play with other boys or with various diversions because they are encouraged by desire. But there is no possibility of such desire for the Lord, because he is self-satisfied and detached from everything at all times. So this is still part of the question. It's not an answer yet. It's the framing the question nicely. Krishna's, you say it's, if it's his pastime, why is he playing with his inferior energy? And why is he playing with it in the way that it looked like, if he is playing with it, he's playing with it. Like, you know, horrible things, bad things, mean people, catastrophes. And so, Vidura is making a distinction. Krishna is not like a child that's playing. His leela is not irresponsible or whimsical or capricious. He is self-satisfied, so his play is not purposeless, it's purposeful. And he's not attached like a child that's playing to their toys or whatever it is that they're playing. He's ever detached because he's full in himself. And there's a short purport. Prabhupada writes, since the Supreme Personality of Godhead is one without a second, there is no possibility that anything besides Him can exist. Prabhupada said it very nicely. There's two things, and there's not a third thing. There's God, and there's expansions of God, there's not a third thing. Or there's no void in the creation of God. Something where there's nothing, or something that has no connection with Him, doesn't exist. It's either God or expansions, various personal potency expansions, whatever, God or its expansions from God. There's no possibility that anything besides Him can exist. He expands Himself by His energies in multi forms of self-expansions and separated expansions as well. Just as fire expands itself through heat and light. Since there is no other existence besides the Lord Himself, the Lord's association with anything manifests His association with Himself. Confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 9.4, Mayatatamidam sarvam jagat avyaktamurtina Matstani Sarvabhutani Nachaham Teshu Avastitaha. Translation: the complete manifestation of the cosmic situation is an expansion of the Lord Himself in His impersonal feature. Note, this is a different translation that we find in Bhagavad Gita. But it's rendered this way to help understand. It's saying underlying the theme of the relation is addressing impersonalism. Besides materialism, there's only one bar, there's one primary large category of ideology, and that's impersonalism. All there is matter, all there is Brahman. So if you say all there is Brahman, then you have to say, and they do say, there's nothing else. Are you tired? It's understandable why you're tired. But okay, so the complete manifestation of the cosmic situation is an expansion of the Lord Himself in His impersonal feature. All things situated in Him only. All things are situated in Him only, and yet He is not in them. So this is describing the relationship between the Lord and His potencies. The cosmic manifestation is His impersonal feature, meaning He's not personally there. but his energies nonetheless. So we can say he's there by his energies, but we can also say he's not there personally. You with me? Okay. All things are situated in him, that is to say, in his potencies, yet he is not in them. So it's that, that's the meaning of his impersonal expansion of his energies. Because behind the energies, there's also a person, personified energy. But the personified energy is not within the energy. Like, you know, unless you connect the two, like this, the rays of the sun and the sun, the scorching heat of the sun. The sun god is not present, like, you know, torching you, scorching you. But the energy of the sun is. So he's not there, but he's there through the presence of the scorching rays. The impersonal person is resting upon person. Two more sentences. That is the opulence of the Lord's attachment and detachment. He is attached to everything, yet he is detached from all. Beautiful, huh? So there's a Chintaveda Tattva in a nutshell. That's what those first verses of chapter 9 are describing. And the language that Prabhupada is choosing to use to explain it here or present it here is personal, impersonal. Attachment and detachment. And one can look at it in either way, and the statement is correct, but it's incomplete unless you take them both. Right? So now back to what Maitreya Vidura is saying. Vidura is saying, how do we understand this relationship between the self-sufficient, unchangeable, supreme, and the creation, which is always changing and is not self-sufficient? And if you say that it's Leela, this is now text 2, if this is his pastime, how do the activities of the unchangeable take place and exhibit qualities without the modes of nature? Like, can you zero in on the activities of Krishna philosophically? You know, the fruit is, when we go to the 10th canto and read about Krishna's activities, we'll have the proper understanding of Krishna's activities. And the default mode is, if we don't, they'll have a wrong understanding of Krishna's activities. Even we may be trying to be pious, we'll have a wrong understanding of Krishna's activities. And just get it wrong. What to speak of people that are impious? So, it's for our benefit. Not like Vidura has some philosophical doubt about Krishna or something like that. But it's laying the foundation for the internal potency, the external potency, and very clearly understanding how they're different, but at the same time, what's the connection? So, attachment and detachment. Personal, impersonal. And the impersonal is resting on person. The energy is resting on the energetic. He is attached to everything, yet he is detached from all. Text number 4. By his self-sheltered potency of the three modes of material nature, the Lord has caused the creation of this universe. By her, he maintains the creation and conversely dissolves it again and again. This sounds a little bit like Ramanujacharya's doctrine. His doctrine is Vishishta Advaita. Vishishta means attributes. And Vishishta Advaita doctrine says that the attributes of God inhere within Him. They're inherently within Him. And sometimes He exhibits. Sometimes He doesn't exhibit. When He exhibits, there's a relationship between Himself and His attributes that are Advaita, non-different. And when they're not manifest, they're also Advaita, non-different. Non-different, non-different, Advaita. And there is attributes. So where does that which is material come from? They're simply attributes. Vishishta, I don't know the etymological specifics about it. It's slightly different than potency, because otherwise it would be Shakti. It's Vishishta. So there's varieties of attributes. As we would say, there are varieties of potencies. The inherent inseparableness between everything that's created and its source of creation is a Vaishnava principle. Following, chronologically following Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya didn't like it. It wasn't strong enough defeating of Mayavad philosophy. I mean, to say that the Absolute has attributes is not monism. But it wasn't strong enough. Dvaita. Vad. Panchabheda. Five distinctions. And they're eternal. They're tattva. They're truth. So Mahaprabhu took these two and established they're both. On the authority of Bhagavad Gita and on the authority of the Bhagavatam. So here, in this verse, this is the the oneness aspect that's being presented without the difference aspect being like amplified or highlighted. So I'll read the verse again and then the purport. By His self-sheltered potency, of the three modes of material nature, the Lord has caused the creation of this universe. By her, He maintains the creation and conversely dissolves it again and again. So, there's a verse in Sri Brahma Samhita in which Durga is given this capacity, or is described as having the capacity of Srishti, means creation, Stiti, maintenance, and Pralaya. So, which is it? Does Krishna create, or does Durga create? If you don't have the bigger picture, it looks like Durga does it. So people worship Durga as the creator. Srishti Stiti Pralaya Sadhana Shakti Eka Shayeva Yasha Bhuvanani Vibharti Durga. But she, the energy, is self-sheltered within Krishna. So she can't do anything without Krishna giving the okay. She's the external potency of the Supreme Potent. Purport. This cosmic universe is created by the Lord for those living entities who are carried away by the illusory thought of becoming one with Him by imitation. The three modes of material nature are for the further bewilderment of the conditioned souls the conditioned living entity, bewildered by the illusory energy, considers himself a part of the material creation due to forgetfulness of his spiritual identity. So that's the materialism. And then the impersonalism, both of which are atheistic. God is forgotten. And thus he becomes entangled in material activities life after life. This material world is not for the purpose of the Lord, but it is for the conditioned souls who wanted to be controllers due to misuse of their God-gifted minute independence. Thus, the conditioned souls are subjected to repeated birth and death. End of purport. Going back to the previous chapter, very detailed, very beautiful description of during the resting period when the cosmic manifestation does not manifest. In short, it became manifest based on two desires from the Supreme Lord. And on the strength of his desire, it happened. One desire was, or a feeling. He was feeling incomplete. How can the complete? We can feel incomplete, but how can the Supreme Lord feel incomplete? It's a statement of love. His feeling incomplete was that they're living entities who are apart from me due to their rebellious spirit. And it's unnecessary. And I want to see them happy, and that requires their situation be rectified. And so he desired that by which those living entities could be rectified. So this is in the dormant state. The living entities are wound within the body of Mahavishnu. And the second feeling was he saw the reflection of his internal potency. This is described in Sri Brahma Samhita very beautifully. Chaya Devi had nothing to do, but she wanted something to do. He knew that she wanted something to do. So he had a feeling, let me give her something to do. She'll then be happy. Let me give her something to do. So I gave her something to do. Those two desires, and the glands, the living entities, time, separating out of the elements, manifestation of the cosmic elements, there's a big section of detail that's not presented because it moves over to the prototype or the position of the demigods who are feeling incapable. There's going to be this creation, and we just don't have the capacity to do it, to do our part. They approach Lord Vishnu in beautiful prayers, describing his position, their position in relation to him, and petitioning him to please make it possible for them to do their service. So that he then manifested feeling compassion. He manifested the Virat Rup. By the agency of the Virat Rup, they were able to see, they were able to do, they were able to walk, they were able to... Because he was interacting, they were able to interact. By his agency, they were able to perform their duties, and same for us. So now then comes this question. Well, wait a minute. He who is unchanging and all spiritual is doing things like creation. So what's the relation between those? How does it work? So this explanation is to help us understand. it'll take, you know, the rest of his Vidura is not an ordinary person. When he was in the palace of the Kuru dynasty, he was not an ordinary person. And now, 34 years later, he's a far more elevated person through detachment and hearing and spiritual elevation. So his questions are very sharp. It's getting to, like, really the right questions to ask so that we can be tuned in to, what, you know, not just... It's one thing. It's simple. God is the source of everything. And that's fundamental. Now, how do you explain this and how do you explain that? What's the relation? What's the connection? How does it work? It's not doubting the fundamental premise, but it's just more elevated in the detail of understanding these things. And what's the benefit of it? It can remove sentiment and replace sentiment with knowledge. And so we're not like just accepting or believing, but we're very clear on the authority of the scripture. This is the relationship. And then when the Lord appears within this world that he creates, we can understand how he's moving within the world that he creates properly. It's very nice. Any questions?
When we're not to be scared of God has to, or the creation is to, he wants to see the living in peace, happy, and come back to him. He does not want to be separated from him.
Right.
So he sends pure devotees to reclaim us. Now, and after getting this knowledge, now, how to have this mission in our own heart to help others?
Well, how to have the vision is by oral reception. How do you get the right picture of things? Because we're going to have some picture of things, and how do you get the right picture of things? And as you're saying, in the heart, it's by hearing, by descending, and accepting the principle that that's how we're going to understand whatever we're going to understand. It's by the medium of devotional service, not by our individual capacity. So I require to make some endeavor, but I also require mercy. And one's heart has to be open for that descending mercy. Then you can carry it in your heart. And I just received a letter from someone that says the same thing that I say regularly, but they've been reading during Kartik month. They read certain things, recited certain things, and chanted 32 rounds for the month of Kartik. And their description was, I've just seen the world differently. You know, the thing that I was struggling with before, and it's just... It's not, there's no struggle anymore, but it's just, I just see the world differently. You see the world in a different perspective. When you hear regularly, it's no longer, you know, the mind and the senses only battling for supremacy. You just see differently. And you feel differently, and you experience differently. The world, it's the same world out there, but your experience, your consciousness is different. So by regularly hearing, that all changes. There has to be these two things, eagerness and or effort or submission, and then receiving, descending mercy. That's the how-to. Then it becomes carried in the heart. Shrimati Gayanti Grinanti Sadhava. how it works. Okay? Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada Gita.